Get that little old school rock on, y'all. Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you will bless your word as it goes forth. May it find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, I made the decision that I was going to cook brunch for the family. I was going to do a seafood brunch. Now, I know some of you are looking saying, man, Pastor, I didn't know you could cook. You don't get my size not being able to cook a little bit. If I depended on my mama to do all of the cooking, that would have been two full-time jobs for her, right? So I'm going to throw it out, man. I'm going to lay it out. I'm going to burn, man. I mean, I'm fried oysters, fried shrimp, fried catfish. I'm going to throw some bacon and some little maple sausage on the sides. You know, I'm going to do the eggs, cook the order, pancakes. You know, if you want some waffles, I got the waffle line set up, and I got some grits on the stove. I mean, we're going to do this thing. Got some fresh fruit, some juice, you know. If you want a little mimosa, we can work that too, right? Everybody loved the brunch. Man, I mean, they went crazy. They were like, oh, my God, it's so good. You know, shrimp cooked perfectly. Oh, man, the catfish was unbelievable, blah, blah. But everybody ranted and raved about my grits. Now, just so you know, in my family, there's no debate over whether you put sugar or salt on grits. Put what you want on there. But even my wife was like, oh, my God, she was like, the grits were amazing. Man, they were, I don't even like grits, but the texture of the grits and just every, man, the grits, I mean, it was so good. And then she said to me, she said, how did you make the grits so good? And I said, well, I said, I did something some people might think is unique in cooking grits. I followed the directions. Now, y'all are laughing, but for those of you, your rice is sometimes good or sometimes bad. Sometimes it's sticky, sometimes it's loose. Sometimes your oatmeal is edible, sometimes you need to use it as plaster on the wall. Here's what I've learned. The overwhelming majority of people just try to go by feel and by sight, and they don't read the directions. Now, I did throw a little something-something in there on the side, you know what I mean? But to get the consistency, to get everything like it needed to be, I followed the directions. My brothers and my sisters, here's what I've learned in life. Many people have great ideas. Almost all of us have great intentions. But when we think about how to live life, very few of us make a commitment to follow God's directions. We think God has just left us on our own to figure out life after a series of mistakes, ups and downs, and ins and outs, and we fail to realize that God, in his word, has given us directions to live by. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live following God's instructions. How to live following God's instructions. If you have your outline, would you say amen? Amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. If you're watching online, you can download our app wherever you get your apps, or you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and find our outline there. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 6 is the foundational chapter of our message today. And David in 2 Samuel chapter 6 has a desire to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to its rightful place of rest in Jerusalem, in the capital of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant has been out of the control of the children of Israel at this point now some 70 years. You remember the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God, as it is referred to as in some scriptures, represented the very presence of God. The people saw the Ark of God as a visible reminder that God was with them to guide them, to provide for them, and to protect them. And the Bible says that God put it upon David's heart, once he had been named and celebrated as the king of Israel, to now go and bring the ark back to its rightful place. But God was not going to be moved by intentions if they were not willing to follow his instructions. And what they ended up seeing in the midst of trying to do the right thing, they walked into tragic consequences because they didn't do it the way God wanted it done. Three things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will inspire you to leave here today determined to follow God's instructions for your life. Number one, you must know how God instructs you to live. You must know how God instructs you to live. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, the New Living Translation reads, "Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Baala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim." They have to go and retrieve the ark. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, where did it go? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel was at war with the Philistines. They go into battle, and the Bible says 4,000 Israelite soldiers were killed. Those who remained and survived went back, and they were trying to figure out, why did God allow us to lose this battle? And somebody said, the reason we lost was because we did not have God with us. And so they sent back to the temple to retrieve the Ark of God. Here's what they said, and you can quote it in the text. "Go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back, and let the Ark of the Covenant lead us into battle. And when the Ark of the Covenant goes before us in battle, it will make us victorious." They confused the symbol of God with the person of God. And they brought a symbol into battle. They were so excited, the Bible says they shouted for joy. And the Philistine soldiers heard them shouting in their camp and grew afraid. The Philistine commander looked at his soldiers and told them to fight like men. And the Bible says they went into battle, the children of Israel, with the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. Eli, sons, Hophni and Phinehas, sons of the high priest, were carrying the Ark of God. And the Bible says the Philistines this time, instead of killing 4,000, killed 30,000 Israelites. Hophni and Phinehas lost their lives in that battle. Their father, Eli, the high priest, when he got the news that his two sons had perished in the battle, fell back, broke his neck, and died. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant. She went into labor prematurely, and on her labor bed, about to die, found out she gave birth to a son. She named her son Ichabod. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed. And the Bible says the Philistine soldiers took the Ark of God back home with them. And for now, 70 years, the ark was gone. Now, it didn't stay with the Philistines the entire time. Because the Bible says, man, the Philistines, when they took it and put it in the room with all of their other gods, came back the next morning and all of their gods had fallen over. And the ark was still there. And they set all of their gods back up, rearranged them, changed the order, changed the place of where the ark was. And they came back the next day and all of their gods had fallen. First fallen backwards, then fall on their face. As if they were bowing in reference to the Ark of the Covenant. Philistines said, that's too much. We don't need it. They put it on a cart and they send it back, point it towards Jerusalem and send it back. And the Ark of God ends up at the home of Abinadab. But nobody went to retrieve it. Here is David. And David, with all of that history behind him, says, let's go to get the ark. Now, I gave you some historical references here for those of you who want to look at the history, but let me just read a couple of them to you. Look at Exodus 25, verse 12 through 15. Cast four gold rings, attach them to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. Make poles from acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to carry it. These carrying poles must stay at the sides of the ark to carry it. Must stay inside the rings. Never remove them. All right. I want you to go down to Numbers chapter 7, verse 9. But he gave none of the wagons or oxen to the Kohathite tribe or division, since they were required to carry the sacred objects of the tabernacle on their shoulders. So underline that, gave none of the wagons or oxens to the Kohathite division. Here's what I need you to understand. God gave them explicit instructions. They were not suggestions. He did not say, if you feel like it, obey me. He said, this is how I want the ark handled. These are my commands. These are my requirements. And you will not fulfill my commands or requirements unless you give me obedience. My brothers and my sisters, can I tell you something? God, interestingly enough, has a word about everything going on in your life. Like, God doesn't need suggestions on how your marriage needs to function. God has a word about how to raise your children. God has a word about how you're supposed to treat your friends and your enemies. And they are not suggestions. God has clear instructions. And the problem is, when you think you know as much or more than God knows, you take his commands and you reduce it to the level of a holy suggestion. And then you wonder why you get in mess that you've got to later ask God to get you out of. And many times the mess that you find yourself in is caused by the disobedience to what God has already said in his word. First thing, if you're going to live following God's instruction, you must know how God instructs you to live. Here's the second thing, and it's right here in the text, number two. You must do what God commands no matter how you feel. You've got to do what God commands no matter how you feel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3, they placed the ark of God on a new cart, underline new cart, and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart as it left the house. Carrying the ark of God, Ahio walked in the front of the ark. Watch this. The ark, I told you, was sent towards Jerusalem and it lands at Abinadab's house. Abinadab takes the ark and he holds on to it. And now David says, Abinadab, I'm coming to your house to get the ark to bring it back to Jerusalem. The scripture says they take the ark and they put it on a new cart, and they are about to begin their journey to Jerusalem. I'm going to show you three problems that they had and see if you can identify with any of these problems in your own life. First thing that they did to miss what God had told them: A, don't use your ignorance as an excuse to disobey God. They put the ark on a cart. Now, I just showed you in the scriptures that the ark was not supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be what? Carried. But they decided that they were going to put it on a cart. And they thought putting it on a new cart would not put them in jeopardy of disobeying God's old law. So they thought somehow a new way to sin would get them around disobeying the old things that God said. So they said, listen, we're not just going to put them on any cart. We're going to put it on a new cart. And we're going to make our way down the hill to head toward Jerusalem. My brothers and my sisters, here's one of the things, if you've ever had any run-ins with the law, that a good attorney or judge will remind you of: ignorance is no excuse. You can't stand in a courtroom and say, well, I didn't know that was the law. I didn't know I was breaking the law. Because your ignorant self will go right to jail. You won't pass go. You won't collect $200. Here's what I need somebody to understand today. You can't claim ignorance of God's word. Man, listen, you got the Bible on CD, you got the Bible on MP3, MP4, you got 24-hour Christian radio, Christian television, Christian internet, you got 100-plus translations of the Bible, you got 24-hour Christian music being played, you have no excuse. You can't claim ignorance to justify your disobedience. You know better. You just choose not to do better. Watch the second thing that we use as an excuse. Look at B. Don't use your imitation of others as an excuse to disobey God. The ark has been at Abinadab's house for 70 years. How did it get there? The Philistines put it on a cart. But they didn't know better, because they were not God's people. They put it on a cart and sent it. And because they set the precedent of putting it on a cart, the children of Israel figured if it was good enough for the Philistines, it's good enough for us. Even though God told them to do one thing, because they saw somebody else do something else, they figured they could imitate them and get away with it. I grew up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, 465 East 10th Street, apartment 13H, in the Jacob Riis Housing Projects, 10009 was the zip code right off of the FDR Drive. My two best friends were Renard Rembert and Tony Calhoun. We were thick as thieves. We spent a night over at each other's houses, man. We'd eat at each other's tables. And I remember hanging out with Tony and Renard, and they decided to do something really daring. Looking back now, it was really stupid. But as a kid, it was really daring. I think we was on one building, and we was going to jump off that building onto another building's roof. And I shudder now just thinking about how stupid it was. But Renard did it. Tony did it. So I was going to do it. I wasn't scared. We're three musketeers. We do it together. And somehow my mother heard that I had done this crazy thing. I get home and my mother said, I heard you and Tony and Renard jumped off this building, whatever it was that we did, it was just crazy. And I said, yeah. And she said, why would you do something so stupid? And I said, well, Tony did it and Renard did it, so I did it. Here's what my mother said. Tell me if this sounds like your mama. So if Tony jumped off a building and Renard jumped off the building, you gonna be stupid enough and jump off the same building? If they run in front of a car and Tony runs in front of a car and Renard runs, you gonna run in front of a car too? What my mother taught me was that I could not use stupidity imitated as an excuse for my stupidity that was practiced. Israel couldn't come to God and say, but they brought it on a cart. It got to a cart on us. Why couldn't we take it? Because God said, but I told you. And at the end of the day, you do what I told you, not what somebody else did. Here's a third excuse. See, don't use your inconvenience as an excuse to disobey God. Don't use your inconvenience. Y'all, listen, it was 10 to 11 miles from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem. It was on a hill, which means they had to come down a hill. They had to go through a valley, and then when they got to Jerusalem, they had to go up a hill. Is it easier to carry it or put it on a cart? Well, here's the problem. Most people would say the end justifies the means. If the goal is to get it to Jerusalem, what difference does it make how we get it there? Trailways, airways, I don't care how you get it there. Just get there if you can. So they said, we got a new cart, our intentions are right, and we're trying to take it to the right place. Because remember, this 10 to 11 miles, man, these are not highway miles, right? They don't have a car. They walk in. They walk in. It's rough terrain. It's going to take some time. Depending on the time of year, it might have been hot. It's a challenge. It's difficult. And so they wanted to make it as easy as possible. Listen to me carefully. Because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God. And because it's easy doesn't mean it is God. Because it's God makes it God. Sometimes we avoid doing what God commands us to do because it's too hard. And we think because it's hard, it can't be God. Because if God commanded me to do it, it would be easy. Sometimes we think it's easy, it must be God. And sometimes the easiest things that are put out in front of us are just fool's gold and they're tricks of the enemy. And we miss the blessings that God has for us on the other side of our obedience. Chuck Yeager was a fighter pilot, first man to break the sound barrier. Wasn't the first man to attempt it, but he was the first man to accomplish the feat. And they interviewed Chuck Yeager after he accomplished the feat and asked him, how was he the first person to break the sound barrier? And Chuck Yeager told him he had talked to everybody who had attempted to break the sound barrier that he could talk to. And they all told the same story, that you get to a place, you're increasing in speed, and then the plane would start shaking and it would start rattling, and you would feel like the plane was about to come apart. And every one of the pilots said it was so bad and the shaking was so violent that they backed off of the throttle and reduced speed and said it couldn't happen. Some of them said they thought the plane would explode if they continued at that speed. Chuck Yeager decides he's going to attempt to break the sound barrier. And so he gets in his plane, he takes off. And just like they told him, the plane is shaking and it's rattling. And man, it feels like the whole plane is going to come apart out from under him. And it feels like this plane is just going to disintegrate. But instead of backing off, he presses the throttle even more. And Chuck Yeager said, when he did that, in the midst of that shaking and that rattling, there was a loud boom. And he opened his eyes, and it was the most peaceful, calm ride he had ever experienced. Folk heard the boom of breaking the sound barrier and thought the plane had exploded. Here's what he understood. On the other side of all of that shaking and all that rattling, there was peace, but he had to be willing to push through what he was going through. I'm trying to help somebody in here understand that when your life, when you make a decision to live for God, man, don't think your life is not going to have some shaking and some rattling. Don't think that you're not going to have people coming at you trying to dissuade you. Don't think that the decisions that you've made are not going to be challenged. And don't quit because times get hard. God says, continue to push. Continue to push. Will it be inconvenient? Yeah. And watch this. You don't want anything that doesn't cost you something. Because if it doesn't cost you, you won't value it. That's what David told Araunah in 2 Samuel 24. Read it when you get a chance. He goes to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and Araunah has such love and reverence for David. He says, David, king, I am going to give you everything you need for this offering. This offering will cost you nothing. And David refuses to accept this generosity. David says, look at verse 24. No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. Amen. Here's the last thing. Then I'm going to take my seat. Number three. You must realize obeying God's instructions is always more important than your intentions. Obeying is always more important than intentions. Obeying God's instructions always trumps your intentions. Look at verse 5. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments. The lyres, the harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. Abinadab is the king's brother. Ahio and Uzzah are his nephews. And they are charged with returning the Ark of God to Jerusalem. Look at what the text says. They were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments. I wish I had time to talk about the blessing of praising God on the way. Right? They didn't wait till they got to Jerusalem to celebrate. And sometimes you've heard the song, we wait till the battle's over. He says, no, you got to learn how to shout now on your way to victory, because you will find encouragement in your praise. He says they were praising him on the way. And then verse 6 says, but that contrastive conjunction sneaks in. They got to the threshing floor of Nacon. And the Bible says the ox stumbled. Now watch this. The ox stumbles, and Uzzah reaches out to study the ark. Now let me go back. Remember what they said. When you build the ark, put rings on each end and use poles through the rings to move the ark. The ark was to be carried not in people's hands, but by the pole. Uzzah touched the ark, and the Bible says he died on the spot. Now, the name Uzzah, write this in, means strength. Don't miss this. Uzzah relied on the strength in himself instead of obedience to God. So if the name Uzzah means strength in yourself, or to show yourself strong, because they did not follow God's command for handling the ark, Uzzah thought he was doing God and the ark a favor, reaching out to study the ark. He thought his intention was more important than God's instruction. He reaches out to take action, but he doesn't have authority. He exercises his power without God's permission. He had good intentions, but he moved ignorant of God's instruction. Uzzah meant well, but he disobeyed God. I need somebody to hear me in here today, because with all of your good intentions, God does not care about your intentions when you refuse to follow his instructions. Uzzah reached out to study the ark and made a tragic mistake, because he assumed his hand was cleaner than the ground. See, here's what Uzzah missed. Here's what Ahio missed. Here's what Abinadab missed. Here's what David missed. The instructions to handle the ark were not designed to keep the ark off the ground. It was designed to keep the ark out of man's hand. And anytime you choose to rely on your strength and not follow God's commands, you will end up with a problem. Whenever you try to do God's work your way in your strength, you will always fall short of God's mark. Every one of us knows what it feels like to mean well and get it wrong. How many times have you had to apologize and say, I didn't mean it like that. That wasn't my intention. That wasn't what I meant. And we may say to God, like we say to people, you know my heart. But God says, I do know your heart, but obviously you don't know my word and you don't know my commands. Because a good heart doesn't give you an excuse for bad behavior. Have I got a witness here anywhere? You can be sincere and still be out of order. See, God is saying, if you want my presence, follow my process. If you want my power, respect my order. God says, if you want my blessing, obey my instructions. Somebody said, why is that important? Because God's way is the right way. That's why God wants you to walk in his word. That's why God wants you to trust his commands. That's why God wants you to honor his holiness. Because when God gives instructions, he expects obedience. Putting God at the center of your life is critical to doing things God's way. And let me just throw this in parenthetically as I hurry to a close. Your lack of understanding is not a prerequisite for your obedience. It may not make sense to you, but if you really trust God, If you really want to obey God, you'll just do what God tells you. Let me give you an example and see if you stop by my house any. When my father told me to do something, I could ask him why in a nice way for understanding. And I may not understand even after he explains it. I may want to say again, but Dad, I don't understand. Pop, I don't get it. But eventually, you know what he's going to do? He's going to digress to that place that every parent gets to. When you get tired of being asked over and over, and you finally say, because I said so. And all I'm trying to tell you is, you keep on asking God to explain something. You keep on wanting God to make sense. When God is simply saying, because I said so. And if you learn how to obey God when he says so. I wish I had a witness here. God can bless you. When you decide to live God's way, when you decide to do what God has appointed you to do, blessings are on the other side of your obedience. See, here's the problem. We want God to bless us in order for us to obey. And you don't realize God has already blessed you more than you deserve. Let me see if I can get one or two witnesses. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way, gave you a reasonable portion of health and sense. You're clothed in your right mind. You had food to eat, clothes to wear, and a roof over your head. I'm telling you, God has already blessed you enough for your obedience. And here's what I want you to know. Whatever you want and whatever you need, it's on the other side of obedience. God's anointing on your life is on the other side of obedience. Blessings on the other side of obedience. Deliverance is on the other side of obedience. The favor of God is on the other side of obedience. Joy is on the other side of obedience. Miracles are on the other side of obedience. Peace is on the other side of obedience. Somebody needs to learn how to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Have I got a witness here? Yes! Yes! When we trust and obey, even in turbulence, even in tough times when you're ready to give up, if you trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's why the old song said, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I proved you over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Father, we thank you today. I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that somebody, having heard your word today, would allow it to take root in their hearts. That they would leave here inspired, knowing that ignorance imitation and inconvenience is no excuse to not obey you. And I pray, God, that everyone under the sound of my voice would leave here today more committed to trust and obey you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise.